Tai. On this episode, we talk about Monty Oom's passing. Sci-Fi's casting a new reality series based on the Big Bang Theory. Ghostbusters remake has an actual cast. Zelda might be getting a live-action Netflix series. X-Men might be getting a new TV series on Fox. And I went to Comic-Con Purdue, and it was weird. And welcome to Nerd and Tai, only podcast on the internet with a dress code. How you folks doing today?
Pretty darn good, Trey. How the heck are ya?
I'm pretty good, Professor Firsters. How about you, Nick Izumi?
Yeah, I've gotten a lot done, and I'm going to continue to get a lot done today. So, how's up?
Oh my god, I'm right there with you, Nick. I've got 60 hours of work between tomorrow and Anime Milwaukee over the course of 4 days, and I've still got to put like 30 things together. I can't wait.
Oh man. That's so if you want to know something great, today I accidentally punched myself in the face.
How do you manage that? Do you just
I saw your post about that.
Okay, so what happened was that I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I come from a mainly Germanic and Eastern European heritage. And so I naturally have a unibrow. I work very hard to remove that, but that means I tweeze my... And so what happened was today, while I was tweezing my unibrow, and like in all of the like humiliating ways this could have happened, I slipped and knocked myself holding the tweezers in the nose, like full force, and slipped the tweezers. And you can't really see it all that well, but I'll try to get up to the camera. But there's a little tiny cut from where I like took a little slice out of my nose there.
Incredible.
That's how amazing I've been today.
Wow. So it's been a good day for you, Andre.
Oh my god.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
I'm 10 kinds of awesome.
Well, you know, it could have been worse. You could have like slipped and gouged your eye out or something like that with the tweezers, right? I mean, that's.
Wow, yeah. I love that you immediately go to like the most violently like awesome.
Well, I said it could have been worse.
Could have been worse when filling the gas at the car today. You could have accidentally spilled the gasoline all over yourself, and then static electricity sparked yourself on fire.
Lit a cigarette. I don't know why you started smoking in this situation, but you were like, "I'm going to take up smoking today," and then lit it up in flames. That's
what is fun. There's something fundamentally wrong with you, Fur.
I'm just glad you didn't lose your eye in a freak tweezer accident, Trey. That's oh all my I'm god! Saying.
It's a really specific way of. Let's move forward.
Oh, I am tragic.
The sad thing is, the first thing on our docket is way more depressing.
Is way more tragic and depressing. That's true.
Yeah. So now that we made you laugh at my misfortune, we're unfortunately going to have to talk about something serious, because we planned this out really well. Trey tells a funny story, and now Trey depresses you all.
Yeah.
It's sadly, and this is rather surprising.
Sudden. It's sudden.
Sudden. On February 1st, unfortunately, creator of RWBY and an animator for Rooster Teeth, who had also done stuff for Red vs. Blue, Monty Oom tragically passed away. He was 33 years old. He'd been in a coma for a week after having an allergic reaction during a medical procedure. And yeah, no, it's really, I mean... I mean, the guy was 33 years old, which is a year younger than me. Not an old guy. And, I mean, at 33,
he
already
young.
Created RWBY, which is, you know.
It's a phenomenal, I mean, like, I've never seen animation like it. I mean, it's.
I was never a huge fan of the series, but one can't even question the cultural impact it's had.
Mm-hmm. I'm right there with you, Trey. I never really could get into the series itself, but just how huge it got and the following it has.
And you know, and he also did like some in Red versus Blue. He did some amazing animations and some of their best fight scenes. He choreographed and designed, and so it's like,
well, in Red versus Blue, I think, I mean, it was good at the beginning, but I think it really took off once they started to incorporate that too, because all they were doing in the original version was just using the actual gameplay as opposed to getting, so I mean, like just what he brought to Rooster Teeth and really to the world of animation, I think is just,
to where he got his name out there on the internet. The Dead Fantasy was awe-inspiring in terms of just how ludicrous those fight scenes got. Really impressive stuff.
It's something, and I mean, like, and just the fact that like he knew how it was going to affect people too. I mean, I read a story the other day too, where he in an interview, he said that in the characters in Ruby, he gave the characters pockets because he wanted cosplayers to have a place to put their stuff when they were cosplaying as characters.
Well, it was the same thing that he thought about, like with shoes. He for the character shoes in Ruby, he made sure that they were shoes that you could actually buy, because he knows the pains of trying to make a cosplay costume with shoes that don't exist. That's ugh.
It's not
I'm
often
going through that right now.
Yeah, I mean it's right. No, same here with the cosplay I'm working on, and I mean it's not often you get somebody who is that in touch with their fan base and is aware of how things are gonna develop once he makes something. And I mean and I think that just goes to show that he knew he was talented too. And there's nothing wrong with knowing that you're talented and that something you're gonna make is gonna be good, because for him to say like I want people to be able to dress up as these beloved characters, and just how well he created and how he just it blows my mind. Just like 32 years old, I just
33.
Still way too young.
Yeah,
way too young.
Well, you know what, guys, and I kind of want to echo what Rooster Teeth said about it too. Go out and make something. Create. That's the best way to honor Monty Oom's memory, is create. Doesn't have to be something big and elaborate like an animation. Doesn't have to be the greatest cosplay ever made. Sit down with a piece of paper and write a poem or draw a picture or something. Just add beauty to this world. Any creating art and creating anything just adds beauty, and that's what this world needs. It needs something that makes it better. And art and creativity make that better.
We need to stop losing phenomenal internet content creators around this time of year. This is killing me. Monty's going to be missed, and rightfully so. Like another fan, he was. I keep saying it, but he was way too young, and I am speechless again. I just really want him to be remembered fondly for all of the good that he did for independently produced content. Because, dang,
yeah.
Dang.
Hi. So now that we're all kind of down,
we're all down and depressed. But I mean, you're going to be missed, Monty. I mean, it's
yeah.
Godspeed.
Well, there is, I guess, kind of sort of a. We could go back into the other news. We've got something that's a little bit more ridiculous, actually.
I think we all need something a little
need
goofy
something
and
ridiculous.
And this is more than ridiculous too, which is great, because I feel really bummed out right now.
Nick, bring us home.
Yeah, maybe this will help. So not long ago, Nerd and Tie, our site, Trey was contacted by a group called Big Fish Casting, who are spamming out on the internet right now looking for applicants for sci-fi's for a new reality show for the Sci-Fi Channel that they're describing as a real-life version of The Big Bang Theory.
Bazoonga! Blingo!
Bizormbo!
Sheraldern! I just want to point out that we were contacted about this.
Yeah, I know. Again. They emailed us. And I've researched this company. They're legitimate. They are real. They are an actual...
What else have they done? What?
Big Fish Casting.
I'm assuming they've done other reality series because this can't
be...
Yeah,
no. They've done some stuff for Bravo. They've done some stuff for... let me pull up their credits.
Maybe they heard the show and they thought that we lived together or something.
They cast stuff for The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, well,
The Real
how
Housewives
could this show
of Orange County.
Trey, why didn't you sign all three of us up for this? I don't
know. Sadly, the deadline for... Okay, so they put out this casting call, which, unfortunately, the deadline was the day we're filming this. So, the day we're recording. So, but... Oh my god. Okay, so the best part about this, if you really dig into the casting call, is that one of the things they... Well, besides the fact that it's full of references to The Big Bang Theory.
Boringo!
By the way...
Bulgaria!
Is... if you want to get a show full of real nerds, don't try to, sell it as The Big Bang Theory.
That's probably... Yeah, that's the first misstep you got there. Because the only people who think Big Bang Theory is actual nerds are people who are not actual nerds.
The people that I work with, basically. Right. Everybody that I work with.
I was about to say, the people I work with, for that matter.
Hey, you're just so nerd stuff. So you're the guys from The Big Bang Theory, right?
Well, I think Otaku Tonight should have applied and turned
my God.
Into a... But, the casting call, asked, But they were looking for, if you and your friends crack each other up and have fun going to Comic-Con, Star Trek, or Star Wars convention, they start then talking about if you and your friends who are nerds who live together go to conventions. The instant that came in, my brain kind of opened up and said, oh, look, Heroes of Cosplay, minus the requirement to be in a competitive cosplay contest.
Here's a cosplay. This time it doesn't necessarily require talent. You just...
So you and your friends could sign up to show up at cons and ruin them for everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Fun.
I've been, some of the people I've talked to who, were at some of the conventions that the Heroes of Cosplay were at, later when talking to, say, participants on the show, all the participants have been, apologizing profusely to people. So that's why again, I've never blamed the cast members of Heroes of Cosplay, because they knew not what they were bringing on to us. But oh my god! So I really, really, really wish you see Fur, if you had signed up Otaku Tonight to be on Heroes of Cosplay, I could have used that as a launch mechanism to promote Nerd and Ty without actually having to be on the damn show.
There you go. Yeah, I could have used it.
You should have done
it. So we're going to assume that this show is going to get cast and that we're going to see an actual show.
Well, Lord knows what it's going to turn out to be. So they've sold it as this casting of real life Big Bang Theory thing for sci-fi, but...
That doesn't mean anything.
That means that's what they're trying to sell it to participants as. If you look at shows often with some of these competitive reality shows, they've often been sold as other premises. Now, these guys having a history with a Real Housewives things, they want to do the real nerds of whatever county is really what it sounds like they want to do. And so, Lord knows what's going to happen here.
But I love this casting sheet, the one that we got sent.
One second, guys. The audio for home viewers get to watch me make some sausage right now on the video version because our recording caught out real quick on the audio podcast.
Jam it.
I appreciate the robot chicken alien reference, Nick.
No problem.
All right. So I've got to – I'll figure out the edit later. We'll just start recording again.
So, Nick, you're talking about the casting list, I see.
Yeah, the sheet, I absolutely love the sheet because not only does it open with the Big Bang Theory reference, but then it has these, like, minimalist outlines of high school student Gohan from the end of Dragon Ball and Teen Titans Robin. Like, it's just beautiful. Like, are you like Gohan and Dick Grayson?
Yeah, here, but I'll like toss Sheldon. This up on the video.
Amazing.
Lurga, my friend.
Lurgo! Borax!
That's Blocko. Just...
You cannot make this stuff up.
Oh, my God. Hey.
It's just beautiful. It really
no,
is.
No, that's not... That's not... Go. That's, That's, from the IT crowd.
Was it?
Well...
Isn't it?
Not
really. Isn't that supposed to be Moss in the IT crowd?
That's Gohan's hair, though. Like, exactly. Like, man.
Oh,
yeah,
weird. Oh.
That doesn't really look like Moss at all.
Maybe you're like, oh, we'll slap some glasses and a tie on, and that'll make him nerdy.
Gohan was nerdy.
Well,
did
you
know, watch Dragon Ball Z?
Nerds have been known to wear ties.
No.
Now we know why they contacted our show.
Probably why they did it. They were like, oh, they got nerd in their name. These guys will do it. No, but wouldn't that have been great if we had done it and then, like, convinced them up to that point that we all lived together and then everything was done via Skype?
No, that means three film crews. Well, we'd get Nick on camera, finally.
That's true.
Nick would be on camera.
Yeah, and then Baron Martin would know what I look like, and I'd be in real trouble.
But we show your photo,
you're
Nick.
Right there,
they
Nick.
All know what you look like. In fact, that I put you up not only in photo, but here, we'll circle through your lower thirds. We got you in your Constantine cosplay. We got, let's see here. We got Excited Nick. We've got
really
you in cosplay, so Theron Martin knows what you look like in a dress.
Oh,
we
really could.
We've got you as
the
Joker,
so
people know whether or not, you know, what you would look like as the Joker. And we, of course, have animated Nick Azumi, so everyone knows it's you.
Oh, see, you guys, I just did lose something big, because if we could have just kept the Joker thing going, then I'd be guaranteed to get cast on Gotham. You got to admit.
Yeah, and yeah. they're going to...
Because, I mean, that's...
All I know is that there was a Gotham commercial that referenced Heroes Reborn, and I was just like, that's confusing marketing.
Wait, there was?
What?
It was like Heroes will be reborn. I was watching this ad on Hulu, thinking, oh, it's going to be an ad for the new Heroes miniseries. No, it was an ad for Gotham.
Well, NBC,
very confusing.
I think Fox is trying to cut NBC off on that one. They're like, here comes Heroes Reborn. And, oh, no, sorry.
Oh, dear Lord. So, like, this whole, like, casting call thing, like, they emailed me this whole thing, and there was like, would you, you know, tell us if you'd like us to send us a flyer, and I was like, I would like you to send us a flyer.
I'm so happy we got to see the flyer.
So they reached out to us, hoping we would promote it to get people to apply to it, and we thoroughly then immediately mocked it and said what
Thresh
a terrible idea it was.
So, we're great people.
Big Fish Casting will probably never send us anything again.
Good job, team.
Yeah, go high five the camera, everybody. Let's do it. Boom.
Or you can high five me. Just go to your...
Am I going this way?
Go the other way.
Boom!
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 I'm doing
boom.
It. You just can't. Boom! Sit. You
boom.
Can't tell.
Boom!
I'm doing it.
Oh, dear Lord.
I'm totally doing it.
Wow. Amazing. All right, let's move on to the next story.
Indeed.
Well, for years, it's been talked about that the Ghostbusters movie series was not going to be ended at two. Rather, that maybe we're going to get a third one. There had been talk for years. The third one was in development hell for a really long time. Well, guess what? There's going to be another Ghostbusters. But it's not really going to be a third one. It's really going to be more of a reboot or a remake, if you will. A whole new Ghostbusters. And the best part is, We have the cast.
Yay!
It was just announced that Bridesmaid director Paul Feig, the director of Bridesmaid, is going to be rebooting the Ghostbusters series, and the four actresses, who will be playing the Ghostbusters are as follows: Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, Kate McKinnon, and Leslie Jones. We also have a release date. The scheduled release date is July 22nd, 2016.
Solid now, cast.
I'm pretty hyped up about this.
These are four of the funniest women out there right now.
Oh my God, yes, yes. Have you watched Leslie Jones on SNL?
She's and Kate McKinnon are two of the funniest people on the show. I mean, it's...
Well, I mean, I like Kate McKinnon. I'm not going to complain about her being cast, but Leslie Jones is just awesome.
But I just, this is going to be so great. I've no issues with anything that's going on with this casting. They picked the right four women to do this.
Oh God, yeah, Melissa McCarthy has like so much depth to her chops. I mean, lately in films, we've just kind of seen the one outrageous comedy side of her. But like, I may have just rewatched the entirety of Gilmore Girls.
Because why not?
Because it's a good show,
and it's on Netflix. Why the heck not?
It's on Netflix, and she's phenomenal as Suki. It's weird to watch her as Suki after watching her in her current roles, but she's got range. Woman has range,
and that's what's important about being a great comedian.
Yes,
and
Bill Murray has said that he's 100% behind this remake.
So is Dan Aykroyd. Dan Aykroyd's down with it. Harold Ramis, bless his soul, the dearly departed Harold Ramis. I'm sure
he came through a Ouija board, gave his okay. Yeah, yeah. We seanced him. He's
no one's
good.
Asked Ernie Hudson.
That's true.
He lost his right to an opinion when he was in Dragon Ball Evolution. That's just what happens.
We could have asked him.
It's not like we didn't know people at Wizard World Wisconsin this weekend.
That's true. I think we dropped the ball on that one. Man, that's,
we did. We had so many people who could have filed field pieces for us, but we didn't ask them to.
Oh, well. Such is life. But, no, I'm excited for this. Don't know what I love more, guys. This casting and the fact that we're going to be getting this new Ghostbusters movie in about 2 years. And it's starring four of the funniest women out there right now, or all the sad piss babies who are really upset that there's an all-woman Ghostbusters coming out.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that up until they announced this cast, my entire take on doing a Ghostbusters reboot was, don't do it. Because what I was expecting was, like, Will Ferrell and Judd Apatow and, you know, just the go-to guy comedy, like... whoever they are, who just don't deserve to touch Dan Aykroyd or Harold Ramis's shoes, like to be just thrown into this movie. Sorry, but I have strong opinions there. And then suddenly we get like a really, and then when I see that it's not just, oh, we're doing a really lazy remake, and instead it's like, no, we're going to try something new, and we have an all-women cast, and we're going to just be experimental. That was like, okay, now I'm behind this. I like this.
Yeah.
And yeah, seeing a bunch of sexist assholes get pissed off is fantastic.
It's so funny.
I think one of my favorite things I've ever seen is there's a poster going around the internet right now. It's the ghost with it's the Ghostbusters symbol, but the ghost is giving the middle finger and it says, "This isn't about hating women. This is about touching our childhood."
Nobody's like, I'm sorry, no one is messing with anybody's childhood. The original two movies exist, and these people wouldn't be pissed baby crying if it was a Will Ferrell movie.
Let's say what it is. The people that are whining about this reboot hate women. That's all that it is. Misogynistic douchebags that
pretty much. And it's like, first off, these are the same people who, no matter who was in this film, no matter what happened, were going to hate it because they watched the first Ghostbusters when they were 11, and everything is awesome when you're 11. You know, the people who were 11 when Episode 3 came out think it's good.
That's true.
People who were 8 when they saw Jar Jar Binks actually like him. Hence why people my age like Ewoks, But people who are 10 years older than us think Ewoks are dumb.
Yeah, it's and it's interesting, like...
Oh, I'm sorry, I mean, 20 years older than me. I got to think about when that movie came out.
I was going to say, it's interesting, though, because, like, Ghostbusters... Like, the original movie is, like, a great piece of... it really is a great piece of comedy.
I need to repeat something that Archimize said in the chat room, that maybe it's about ethics and ghostbusting journalism. Thank you, Archimize.
Thank you, sir.
But yeah, like it's such a great movie, and I'm gonna be honest, like I'm always uncomfortable with when a great movie gets remade. Like my automatic thought process is I just get a little bit uncomfortable, but the fact that they're thinking outside the box and that this isn't just going to be a crappy let's just get someone who frat boys think is funny and put a familiar name on it and hope it'll make money, I'm more willing to give this a shot now. And yeah, I'm excited for it.
Well, and it's and the thing is too is, like you point out, I mean, they could have gone the easy route and said, let's just do a quick remake, let's make a couple of, you know, let's make a few million dollars to the studio, throw in some recognizable faces, and that's not to say that the four women chosen aren't recognizable faces.
No, Kristen Wiig is probably Kristen Wiig
and Melissa McCarthy are two
McCarthy
of the
are huge.
Biggest are huge names right now. But Nick was right; they could have gone with that easy. But it's good to see that they're willing to say, you know what, let's put some effort into this to do something different, something fresh, and I hope that it does well enough that we get a decent series out of it,
or at least one decent movie.
Yeah, one decent movie. I think it's gonna be more than decent. I know these four women can hold their own, and to see Kristen Wiig be able to act with other SNL alums, I think is gonna be a bizarre amount of fun.
Well, that was part of the appeal of the original movie anyway, was it was a bunch of SNL alums and a couple Second City guys, you know, all goofing off together, so
it's gonna be good. And if anybody, whoever has a problem with it, please don't try and convince me that it's about your childhood, because I'm going to sit there and point out that it's because you hate women.
Yeah, no, pretty much.
Nothing to do with your childhood. It has to do with
an argument that stems from someone's childhood that was not stupid.
Well, yeah, because first off, there's this whole like weird idea that like a remake somehow tarnishes the original. Like, okay, this isn't like the special edition of Star Wars where Lucas literally changed the films and then made it so you couldn't buy the original, like, which literally happened for a long time. This is, you know, a remake where you can go, like, buy the original Ghostbusters. It's still going to be there. It's just like when people were talking about how, like, back in 2007, people were before 2007, in 2006, when the first images leaked of Optimus Prime as a long-nosed truck, people said that it, specifically a word I won't say, their childhood. And I just was like, well, first off, the original Transformers was terrible. And I say this as a person who watched it as a, like, four-year-old. like, the original Transformers, but, like, they were like, but that's still there. That's still there, you know.
In that case, there's about Optimus Prime has turned into so many different kinds of trucks by the point that movie was coming out.
Well, yeah,
that was a doubly invalid.
Well, the whole thing, I was like, wow, you mean a long nose truck with flames on the nose? I wonder where I've seen that before, Laser Optimus Prime. But not to bring up Transformers.
Yeah, but always, like, every time, you guys, come on.
But you're going to have different versions of different. The thing is, you're always going to have different versions of different characters. I mean, if it's going to be like a retelling, that's going to happen. And yeah, I think it's also important to amend that if a movie doesn't turn out good, you can still consider that to be a crappy version of a character you like. And still, like, I hate Michael Bay Optimus Prime because he's a psychotic murderer. But that doesn't take away the fact that I still enjoy the franchise. That doesn't take away the fact that I mean, RoboCop is still a great 80s movie, And, like, just because there was a crappy remake this last year doesn't mean it's not a great 80s movie
Do any of us know if it was crappy? Did any of us see it?
I wasn't able to finish it.
I refused to watch it because I love the original RoboCop so much, but so I never saw it. So I can't actually tell you that it was crappy.
And really,
Fur didn't see it because Fur doesn't do good things.
It wasn't worth for America.
And what it really comes down to is that no one is going to force you to go and see this remake of a movie.
Yeah,
you're going
to
be able to see the original.
That's the thing. I thought the RoboCop remake looked stupid. So you know what I did?
You didn't see it?
I stayed home, and I watched the original one, and I was happy.
Transformers 4, I still haven't seen any of it.
Yeah, you don't have to go see the remake. If you think it's a terrible idea, stay home and don't post your misogynist douchebaggery to the internet in this case.
And who knows? Maybe if you like got out of your house and pulled yourself away from whatever the men's rights forum on Reddit and decided to go and see.
I was on Red Pill today and
go and see a movie starring four incredibly funny women. Your eyes might get open to a completely new paradigm, and you might become a more enjoyable, decent human being.
But according to Fox News, thanks to films like Frozen, there aren't any movies that show heroic men.
Shut up! No! No!
There are no heroic men, we say, in a year where there will be the second installment of a team superhero movie that is going to have all of two women on the team and still no one who isn't white.
You know, audio listeners, I really hope you consider watching the video for what just happened.
What just happened?
Okay, Nick can't see Fur.
Guys, so I really can't see anything.
Now Fur's frozen.
I'm okay.
There we go. We can see you again, Fur.
Alright. Anyway.
So the cast looks good, and the internet's full of shitheads.
The Ghostbusters reboot starring Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, Leslie Jones, and Kate McKinnon is set to be released on July 22nd, 2016. We will inform you all of plot details once they become available to us.
Right.
Nick,
take it away.
All right. Yeah. All right. So next up, we've got a kind of a weird one. Netflix has been producing quite a few of those Netflix original series. Everyone loves Orange is the New Black. I know Fur and I are big fans of BoJack Horseman.
BoJack Horseman is one of the greatest animated series ever.
This is why I don't mention these things, because you guys get sidetracked by everything. I get sidetracked by everything. Anyway.
I love Orange is the New Black.
But now they want to try something new. Netflix has announced that they are working with Nintendo to produce a Legend of Zelda live-action series.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I have heard people campaigning for something like this for years, but here's the part in the description that always gets me, that I can't help but be maybe a little concerned over.
Well, excuse me, princess.
Right? Oh, you beat me to it. I was just making the comment of how are we going to get a series if the main character shouldn't be talking?
I was going to say, Netflix
is
describing the show as...
Oh my god, this is amazing. We've lost the audio recording now twice.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on. Here, let me see where it last cut off.
Sorry, viewers at home. Give us just a moment. How's everybody's weekend going? I'm talking to you, viewers. Chatters, anybody? Everybody having a good weekend? Oh, man.
They're not. I speak for them.
And we're going to pretend that that wasn't the glitch in the recording and that everyone was talking. We're recording again. The video never stopped.
Okay. Nick, what were you saying, though?
All right. No, the... The hilarious and kind of concerning part is Netflix described the show as a family-friendly Game of Thrones.
To be fair, any fantasy series without nudity and everybody dying every 5 minutes is a family-friendly Game of Thrones.
See, that's the thing, though. Like, that's for me, that's the defining feature of it. A friend of mine and I were talking about how would you run this show on network TV, and we did come up with what our family-friendly Game of Thrones would be, and in it, George R.R. Martin would just appear on screen during the scenes of nudity, and any of the curse words would be replaced with George R.R. Martin yelling, "Balderdash!"
Well, okay, so it just means that it would be a serious fantasy. With the Game of Thrones, they're throwing... It's promotional stuff. They're always going to throw out like the promotion, like the name of the most popular series in a genre. It was
probably a dumb name drop.
But this is the way network people think when they try to describe things. It's... You know, people talk about Die Hard all the time, like it's Die Hard on a ship, or it's Die Hard, you know, in a school when they try to pitch ideas to movies, to the point where one person once tried to pitch a movie as Die Hard in an office building. Think about it for a minute. So it just means that...
It's going to be epic and spanning.
It means
and
they're trying to do an epic story with an ongoing narrative, without all the banging and the cursing and the gratuitous gore.
But I guess what my issue is, I mean, like, what part of Hyrule, like, because we've got to look at what timeline we're in terms of the Legend of Zelda.
It's going to have to be its own timeline.
It's going to be its own timeline. It's going to be a whole new addition to the lore. I think I've seen people say, "Oh, it's great. There's so much stuff for them to play with. There's so much history of Hyrule and all this," and they may incorporate some of that into it. But unless you like focus on a specific like game or branching off of a game, you are not going to be able to do something like let's say an Ocarina of Time TV series. That's not going to be doable. I mean, we're going to see possibly Link have to save Hyrule from something different. Ganondorf will probably be there. Zelda's going to be there. We're probably going to see the sort of the Master Sword show up. But I think what we can expect from this series is probably a completely new Zelda storyline.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's really the only way to make it work. You can't, when you have a franchise as big as that, there's no way to make everybody happy. And you just have to keep, you kind of have to keep staying true to some roots, but redefining it. Not unlike the Transformer. I'm sorry.
Stop.
I love you, Nick.
This is my grumpy face.
Well, no one can see you right now.
I can't see it, so I don't
care. Well,
now
I can see your grumpy face. The folks at home can see your grumpy face.
Good.
I can't.
Anyway. I'm excited. This is going to be good. Hopefully.
Well, it might be good. It might not be good. Really, it's such a crapshoot. I mean... They've done good shows, but they've also done Marco Polo, which has kind of had mixed reviews. Mm-hmm. So
I haven't sat down to watch that one yet.
I haven't watched it yet, but I've been reading stuff, and
we also have to keep in mind that there are in tentative plans. Nintendo could still kill this if they change their
mind. Yeah, this is a lot more tentative than most of the stuff that we hear announced from Netflix.
Nintendo's actually pretty decent about their stuff, though. I remember a few years ago there was a fan movie that came out called The Hero of Time, and Nintendo.
Yeah, IGN made that as an April Fool's joke.
No, it was an actual movie.
What are you talking about? There was an actual movie. See, the only thing I know of called Hero of Time is the IGN April Fool's trailer that they made, which they made it look like a big budget Hollywood trailer.
Nope, there was an actual movie back when I was in middle school or
what year?
Or high school. I don't remember the exact year, but I mean, like, it was a it was actually a full movie that some people made, and they had showings of it, and you could actually get I've seen it, like, it was really good. Like, you could actually get the movie on certain sites.
2009.
It was phenomenal. I loved it. I saw that thing about. I mean, I sat down and watched it two or three times.
The screenshots look kind of terrible.
The thing is, though, also Nintendo's really stingy about adaptations of any of their series. I mean, think about it.
What they'll let fans do is very different about what they'll let be slapped out as an official product.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
we're no longer in the years where like the Super Mario Brothers Super Show happened. You know, we've moved pretty far beyond
that. And
that
was the last time they really let something like that even happen. Like, really, think about it.
Well, Captain N lasted longer than that. And,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because the Zelda cartoon from that would air during the Super Mario Brothers Super Show on Fridays.
Terrible.
Those versions of Link and Zelda showed up on Captain N, although Link was, for some reason, super beefy when they got to Captain N, but it was the same voice actor setting continuity as the earlier cartoon. No, I'm not kidding. Like, Link went from being this skinny guy to like a football player between the two series. It was hilarious.
Well, he needed to match up to Matt Hill somehow. I mean, that dude's a Ninja Turtle, man. For those of you who don't know, Captain N was voiced by Matt Hill, who played two different Ninja Turtles, actually. And so, yes. Also, he's the sweetest human being on the face of the earth.
He's a great guy.
He's no Tiffany Grant.
Okay, he's not Tiffany Grant, but he is a really, really amazing, really nice person. Just mind-bogglingly nice. Yeah, but I'll be interested to see how this turns out.
I think it's going to be good.
I don't know. I don't know. Yet.
I'm hopeful. I'm the optimist of our group, right? Like I can look at anything and say it's probably going to be all right. It'll be watchable.
No, you say it will definitely be all right, no matter what the situation.
We're generally a pretty optimistic crew here on Nerd and Tie. The majority of the internet spends its time ripping apart about how terrible things are, but Nick's the most negative guy on the show here, and he's generally one of the more positive reviewers you'll find out there.
Think about that for a second.
Well, I'm going to be watching this TV. I'm going to be watching this Netflix series on A1. I told you it was great. Told you it was going to be great.
It's okay because you weirdly audio skip thanks to what appears to be your bad internet bandwidth.
Oh, well, that sucks.
But you said it was going to be great and you think it'll be great.
Right? I do.
Yeah.
Well, that's something.
Indeed.
So speaking of TV series, Fur.
Yeah. So this is interesting. Of course, right now Gotham is coming back to Fox on its after its mid-season break. Shut up, Nick. Right now superhero TV shows seem to be all thing. And I mentioned Gotham on Fox because, well, from the looks of it, next fall might have another superhero types TV series on Fox. Talks are underway right now for a small screen version of the X-Men. Yes, that's right. The X-Men may be coming to... Not that X-Men, mind you. No, hey, live-action X-Men.
Oh, like that Generation X TV movie.
Or Mutant X with Victoria Pratt.
Oh, come on. Mutant X at least did...
And that guy who's on Continuum now.
TV movie that was Generation X. Did any of you guys watch the Fox TV movie Generation X?
I did.
I definitely did.
I watched it when
like
it aired.
Six.
It was I had a thing for Jubilee.
I did not, but again, I was six. So
I was a teenager, so you know it was not weird then. It's weird now. It's super weird now. But it wasn't weird then. But man, that movie was so bad.
It really was.
But we don't really know what this series is going to discuss yet or what it's going to follow. We're probably not going to see any like major mutants show up in it like Wolverine or anybody like that.
Morph will show up, but then he'll get killed, and then later
he'll bring about the only Deadpool cameo in the entire series.
So we'll see. It's not really been approved yet. We don't know what's going to happen yet. Right now, Star Trek III writers, helper writers, Patrick McKay and J.D. Payne, are set up to be the writers, and Evan Katzan, Manny Coto, Evan Katzan and Manny Coto, excuse me, have been lined up to produce the series. So,
well, to be fair, it's not the worst idea, because you've got such a huge roster of characters you can pull in for the X-Men that, honestly, they could do an equivalent to, you know, how, you know, Marvel's done Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and things like that, where they can just pull off like a subsection of mutants and, you know, or do something X-Factor or X-Force. I don't know what teams the license Fox has coverage for the X-Men universe, because if they could do like a different X team that's canonically existing in the comics and set it in the X-Men movie universe, they don't need a lot of crossover while still building on that stuff.
Well, it's like what we were saying during the Days of Future Past video a while back. It's the X-Men are ideal for having the rights to, because you can still build a cinematic and TV universe just with X-Men characters, because there's too many X-Men characters.
Yeah. Yeah, there really are just too many X-Men characters.
There's a Marvel encyclopedia, but you can buy just X-Men encyclopedias. And it still doesn't scratch the surface of just how many characters and how complicated their comics are. You could easily make a series just of the X-Men and ignore everything else in Marvel.
Yeah.
So I think this could work. I really do.
It'd be a pretty good way for Fox to hang on to the license, too. I mean...
Yeah,
from a cynical side, it is very true.
Like let's say, well, I mean, we've all agreed that it'd be almost impossible for the X-Men to fit into the Marvel or to the universe, cinematic universe, at least that Marvel's built right now.
You know, something interesting is, I don't know if you
barely work in the comics.
I mentioned Mutant X earlier.
Yes.
You know, which was this bizarre almost X-Men project. But originally what happened was that Marvel was trying to develop its own TV series based off the X-Men. And then Fox, who had the movie rights, got upset. And so they had to make it less and less like the X-Men. And they had to make the mutants artificial and like all this other stuff. But like they end up having to alter the premise of the show so much. But that really was an attempt to do just this, just without Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And so, although the guy who voiced Professor X in the X-Men cartoon made a cameo as a small role in the first episode of Mutant X, because I watched all of Mutant X.
Congratulations, Trey.
I watched all of Briscoe County Jr.
That show was so kind of okay, but Bruce Campbell was excellent. I don't know how to explain it.
Incroyable.
It was, you know, it like Jack of All Trades is a show I watched for a single reason.
I love Jack of All Trades. Just do not diss Jack of All Trades. That's Uncle all I ask.
Won. The revolution had been won, and Uncle Sam's favorite son had a job he needed done. Was sent Jack to a lady, but beautiful and smart, who found
it what's happening?
A scoundrel with a heart.
A scoundrel with a heart.
Oh, that and Cleopatra 2525.
Sailed across the bloody world to defend
which
democracy.
Of course, Jack of All Trades is paired with Cleopatra 2525 as the action pack, and Cleopatra 2525 starred three people, one of whom we all know is Zoe from Firefly, but another one was Victoria Pratt of Mutant X.
So it all went back to what we were talking about.
It all connects, man. My knowledge of 90s and 2000s syndicated TV shows.
I was like, crappy syndicated TV shows is immense. I'm amazed.
I don't know why the three of us don't partake in like massive trivia contests across the country. I have a feeling
we really should.
Because we'd be good in like one category.
No, because I've got the sports stuff covered.
That's true. I know government history and political systems and all that, because I've got my degree in political science. And Nick knows history also, and Captain America, and nothing else. That's not true. He knows Gundam and Macross. And Macrossy Gundam.
Zeta Gundam was the best series of the entire franchise. So... Take that. And all the Gundam fans in the audience understood that joke. And I'm
Both of them.
Both of them. There actually are two. I know for certain that there are two.
Can I recommend that if you listen to the show, you should definitely consider tuning in live when we do this every other Sunday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central.
Archimize just wooed.
Because we actually do pay attention to the chat room during the show. We don't always respond in the chat room.
So
but
did random.
I've got it like right off over here, and it's a hoot.
It's good times.
Good times. Well,
speaking of good times, Trey.
Speaking of good times,
Hobisky.
So a week ago, I went to a convention, which was the weirdest experience I've had without it being awful. I went to Comic-Con Purdue, or Purdue Comic-Con, depending on which sign you're reading. It was January 31st at the Purdue Memorial Union. For the video viewers, I will throw up some imagery because I can. Comic-Con Purdue, and of course, you know, Nick and Fur can't see these because they suck.
pretty much.
But so it was a one-day convention that effectively took four. It was only like 4 hours long. Technically, it was longer, where one of the guests had like a single panel after it, but the rest of the con had shut down. I found out about Comic-Con Purdue about 2 weeks before it happened because my wife saw a sign for it on the Purdue campus. She's a grad student at Purdue working on her PhD. And so she texted me immediately. And this whole thing was just nuts. So I tried to contact them about a table because I'm a whore. But apparently they weren't accepting outside tables. I did find out why. But so you get there and there's no vendor room. It's large. Most of the stuff is in a single ballroom that had a bunch of seating in the center. And as you walk in, there's seating in the center. Let me see if I can pause the slideshow here. And there we go. So most of it was in this main hall that had seating in the center, and they were pointed towards the stage, and then behind that, there was a line of tables that had, like, Purdue clubs. Like, had tables including, like, the international program. And there was a single vendor in there, Von's Comic Shop, which is a they're more than a comic shop. They're also a bookstore, but it's literally a store that's located across the street from the venue. And they were the only vendor selling like graphic novels. Now, it's ironic because they build themselves as a Comic Con, and the first thing you hear when something bills itself as a Comic Con is a giant vendor room when it's a small comic convention, and right. There just wasn't. The whole thing was built around, like this one little area. And then there was a side, like on the second floor, there was a tabletop gaming area, which the tabletop gaming area had, Yu-Gi-Oh and Pokemon, games. And that was it. There was no other tabletop gaming, not even Magic the Gathering. Most of the other, like the people involved in running this thing didn't know about it until about 2 weeks ago, even though they'd been like the central planners have been planning it for months. I did get a chance to talk to some of the people in charge, and it turns out the reason why they only announced like 2 weeks ahead of time was because so it was put on by Purdue Student Union Board. And their advisor, who is used to like organizing like talks and things like that, told them that they shouldn't announce until they had all the contracts signed for their guests, who was Mike Reiss, producer of The Simpsons, and comic writer Dirk Manning. And they decided not to announce until after they had signed the contract. Instead of, say, once they had the venue locked down, like any other convention, There
you
was
don't need a venue, Trey.
There were no panels. There were no panels. There was besides a single talk from Dirk Manning and a single talk from Mike Rice, and that was it. There was a cosplay contest, which I loosely describe as a cosplay contest, because it was the final winners. Although the judges narrowed down the field, the final winner was decided by audience clapping.
Oh, of course. Uh-oh. That seems like a good idea.
Because that's a normal thing. Like, that's okay, so it's not uncommon at, like, a comic convention to do that, but when you call it a cosplay con, you kind of bring to the idea that you're taking it a little more seriously, at least where I come from. And so, like, I understood with a four-hour con that, you know, prejudging wasn't going to happen, but it's just, oh my god. And, like, there was, like, practically nothing. Nothing on the schedule. And it's... it was a free event, so, I mean, it's not a huge, deal, but most of the complaints I heard from people walking down the hall is that they just really wanted more to do. And, yeah.
Hmm. Well, does it sound like there's going to be another one next year, at least?
There might be.
Oh, well, hopefully they'll fix a lot of the issues that seem to be affecting it.
Yeah, I'm hoping they do. Because, okay, so the people running it sound really nice. They just were really inexperienced. And so, like, I mean, I wrote a really, really in-depth review on the website. It's about 1,300 words. That's how long. So you can find that on nerdandtie.com. But it was so weird. In many ways, it felt like a convention run by people who had just had a convention described to them. And it's just, yeah.
How old are the people, like, running this thing?
College students.
Okay. Add that to my list of... Well, sorry, it's so weird because I'm still coming off of the feels from EverCon a couple weeks ago, and that was
EverCon though. To compare it though, EverCon was has been going for quite some time. That's true.
They're at year 15.
Yeah, and they were continued after WestCon shut down a similar convention run at Wausau West High School in that same area. So. Like, they had a tradition of examples in front of them. Indiana's a super weird place. Indiana's a super weird place where there are no regional cons. And so that's why I think this Indiana Comic-Con, or Purdue Comic-Con, sorry, Indiana Comic-Con's the whole thing. Purdue Comic-Con, or Comic-Con Purdue, like, I believe it was a missed opportunity. I think there's a lot of potential for an event, especially in that space. In Lafayette, the Purdue Memorial Union is really the only good convention space, and it does have an attached hotel, so it's not like you couldn't run a nice multi-day convention there. But there was no ambition. They tried to run a four-hour con. There are outliers at the border with, like, Akatsu-Con and Ramen-Con, like, which are really, around the edge. But most of Indiana, there are no regional events that are, like, larger than 1,000. Anime Crossroads kind of gets close, but it's, like, no brand con size, but it's the Anime Con in Indianapolis, which is weird. But the majority of stuff you see happening here right now are people trying to either do micro events or gigantic events, like there's a whole thing happening in Indiana right now where next weekend is Indianapolis Comic Con, which you would not be insane if you thought that was the follow-up to last year's Indiana Comic Con, which was the same kind of event in the same space. But Indiana Comic Con isn't until next month. Indianapolis Comic Con is this month, and because the way February and March always work out, they are exactly 4 weeks apart. So their dates are the same, just in different months. It's like Indiana had in the last year, Indiana Comic Con, Indie Pop Con, and AwesomeCon Indianapolis, which was a massive failure, but they were trying to run a giant event still. All of these things are trying to run these huge mega events, and no one's trying to run the medium-sized regional event which can hold together a con scene. I think a con scene can't survive without events like, say, a GeekCon or a DaishoCon or a No Brand Con. Those sorts of events are important to bring together a cohesive network then into your big cons, and those aren't happening here.
And yeah, every time you describe it, it sounds like this weird alternate universe. Like
it's like Wisconsin in 1998.
Mm.
It's really, really insane. I feel very passionate about conventions and about all this stuff. So I apologize if I get a little overly excited when I talk about this stuff. But, you know, it's very frustrating because I know someone could take an event and run it in Lafayette here at West Lafayette when it comes to Purdue. We're one city, really. Run that an awesome event at that Purdue Memorial Union. I know the student organizations could band together and build something great for very little budget. And I know they could do this, but you know, it's not like I can walk down there and tell them what to do, because I'd be the creepy guy in his 30s walking onto a college campus, like yelling at, you know, 19-year-olds. And that would be weird, but they have
only
an opportunity.
Make it weird.
They have an opportunity. And I just wish someone would take it.
Yeah. You know what they say about opportunity.
Also, there's a weird thing in Indiana where, like, every Artist Alley table and vendor table costs twice as much what you think it should. Like, Anime Crossroads, the Anime Con in Indianapolis, is No Brand Con size. An Artist Alley table there is more expensive than Ascent.
Good golly.
Yeah. Which is why I just don't do Indiana conventions. I do a few, like some of the small ones where the prices are reasonable, but for the most part, I drive up to Illinois and Wisconsin, and I have some fun announcements in a few weeks once we get contracts signed, but yeah.
Indeed. Awesome.
So, on a scale of 1 to I'd go again, what do you rank Comic-Con Purdue?
Well, it was free, so I'll do it again.
Perfect.
Well, it's just hard because I compare it to GeekCon, which literally did this. They ran a free convention on a college, on a Big Ten college campus.
Mm-hmm.
Except they ran an ambitious multi-day con where Purdue Comic Con just didn't.
Huh.
Right. Oh.
I just don't know. Yeah. What a weird one. So speaking of cons, I guess we could talk about something that's coming up next weekend.
Yeah. So Nick and I are going to be going to be reunited again next weekend in person.
Trey
unfortunately is going to be staying at home in Indiana, but we'll miss Trey for sure. He will be there in our hearts.
It's because other cons will pay me to go to their events, but Anime Milwaukee won't take my money.
Right, but so Nick and I are going to be at Anime Milwaukee next weekend. That's the 13th through the 15th at the Hyatt Regency Center in downtown Milwaukee, or Hyatt Regency Hotel and Delta Airlines Center, excuse me, in downtown Milwaukee. And we're going to be doing a bunch of cool stuff there. Nick, why don't we go over what we're going to do?
Alrighty. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but...
Oh, okay, well, I do. I guess so. So Otaku Tonight Productions is going to be there, and we're going to be doing 5 different events, as well as kind of hanging around the con.
5 different events?
5 different
events. 5? That's more than 4!
No, we're going to be doing a lot of cool stuff. Our day starts on Friday evening at 6 o'clock with Whose Line Is It Anime, an always fun improv event featuring myself, Nick, Sydney Staffel, and we've got Ryan Tidball of XGeek.com joining us. And, of course, this event is hosted by Brandon Kay, very, very funny man. Then right after that, we're doing Nerd Feud, which is kind of the Otaku Tonight Productions' first attempt at a Family Feud style event, and we seem to be all set up on it, so it should be pretty good. Our people that win are going to get a cash prize, which is going to be nice, where we're giving money for the winners, so that'll be fun.
They'll get the big bucks, both of them.
all $5 that you could win.
I just found $5.
Yeah, and you could say that too. You could say, I just won $5. So there's that chance. And then to close out Friday night at 9 p.m., we've got, what the hell is that? We've got One Night Stand Up, which is an 18-plus stand-up comedy showcase. Then on Saturday, we're doing the Always Fun Match Game, which is going to be featuring a lot of different prizes that you could win. Just got to be there and volunteer to be on the show. And if I happen to pick you out of the audience, guess what? You're on the show, and you have a chance to win prizes. And then at 7:30 that night, we are doing the Otaku Tonight with Professor First talk show featuring Thomas Sinclair and then two other guests that I'll be announcing later in the week because we don't have them for sure yet. But we're basically confirming them, but I don't want to say anything just in case something goes, something doesn't go through. But we're doing
something
five different things.
Pear-shaped on you.
What?
In case something goes pear-shaped on you.
Exactly. So, but no, it's going to be a good time. Nick and I will be there. Come say hi to us. We don't bite. Ask us to hang out with you. It'll be good times.
Mm-hmm. Don't ask me to hang out with you. Depending Nick, on who you are, you don't really. It just gets weird.
It'll be a good time.
Last time someone asked me to hang out with them, I got both of my legs broken and my kidney stolen. So no, we're not doing that again.
Nick,
I'm sorry.
And I offered to split the kidney money with you, but you were like, I'd rather have my kidney back. And I'm like, well, too bad, because I've got $5,000 here. Do you want half of it or not?
I missed my kidney.
Yeah, so come see us at Anime Milwaukee. And I think the next time we're all going to be together is going to be No Brand Con, right?
Nick and I know we're both talking about going to KuroshiCon.
Yeah, I would like to go to Kuroshi. I haven't sent my thing yet.
I applied for them, but they haven't said anything yet. And it's been several weeks, but who knows when they're actually going to tell people.
You never know.
Yeah, because, and then after that, I'm doing Independent Show, but I know I'm the only one going to that. So I think No Brand Con is definitely the next time you'll see all three of us, unless her decides to be awesome and come down to KuroshiCon.
When is that? End of March? We'll see.
March 28th, I want to say.
We'll see.
Sounds right. Northern Illinois University, so like a stone's throw away from me.
We'll see. I plan on being there, and, you know, because, you know, if you were there, we could record a podcast.
We'll see. So
he says we'll see, and we'll see means coming no.
Come and hang out with Nick and I at Anime Milwaukee next week and at
you
the
should.
Hyatt.
You know, I'm realizing now that if I had thought ahead, I probably could have gotten a press pass for Anime Milwaukee, but then I didn't. So.
You probably could have, Trey. Way to drop the ball, buddy.
Look, this is the first week in like 3 weeks I haven't been at a convention. And so, like, I am doing so many cons this year.
That's how this entire month is for Reyna. Like, I think there's like one weekend she's not working some event. Hello?
I'm counting. Yep. I think I'm doing either 8 or 9 conventions this year.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
So,
but let's move on to mailbag.
Yeah, we got mailbag. We got stuff to do. So let's get to mailbag.
What's in our mailbag this week?
Well, we have a letter from Random Ramblings Man.
Oh my golly.
Ramblings Man. It's just about the subject, a big Fortnite. Random says, greetings from a particularly frosty Thursday night. Nerd and Ty, I hope the weather is treating you guys better than it is me. Anyways, big news. Yeah, that's right. You just had that giant snowstorm up there in the northeast, Random. Hope you got dug out of it okay. Hope everything is well. Anyway, big news across the nerd world to be discussed. I'm unsure of how to feel about the Ghostbusters reboot, honestly. I haven't seen any films directed by Paul Feig or any films starring the four chosen leads. I haven't seen any films, but as long as the reboot tries to do its own thing while honoring the original trilogy, the two films, and the 2009 video game, I have no real issue with the reboot going forward and hopefully being a success. Do yourself a favor and check out stuff starring those four. It's quite funny. They're all incredibly funny individuals, especially Kristen Wiig, McKinnon, and Nelson's Saturday Night, or Leslie Jones. I'm sorry, Leslie Jones. Saturday
You're awful.
Night. I mind blanked so hard there. Wow. Forgive me for that. On Marvel news, the Fantastic Four trailer holds a lot of promise and has some great talent in front of the screen, so I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, the trailer was all right. it was a trailer, that's for sure. The Fantastic Four trailer, I'm having a struggle. I'm on the struggle bus for this.
Are you having a stroke, Fur? Are you okay? Fur, are you having a stroke? Good.
The teaser for Daredevil looks positively gritty and more down-to-earth than previous Marvel Cinematic Universe entries, and that's got me excited. And the new additions of the cast of AKA Jessica Jones fills me with confidence, especially David Tennant as the Purple Man. Also, courtesy of an IGN article about a prequel comic to Avengers Age of Ultron, we now know that Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch's powers came from exposure to Loki's scepter and hints at them being Inhumans in the MCU. Finally, talking about the live-action Robotech movie, which is apparently happening. Having just watched the first Macross series last year, I'd probably feel less ambiguous if it was a live-action Macross film being made. But for now,
in a Robotech movie happening when it actually starts shooting. And I won't believe in it until it gets a release date. And even then, I won't believe in it until the first 30 seconds starts screening.
Yeah, they've announced that they've had several writers on this thing, and all of them just mysteriously leave. Like, early on, they're like, yeah, we got the guy who wrote Empire Strikes Back and Silverado up in here. Yeah, he's for real. Then that nothing came of that.
All I'm saying is the only reason why I might want a live-action Robotech movie to happen is that I might want to finally be able to buy a Valkyrie toy not named Jetfire.
Valkyrie toys that don't cost $160 are wonderful. Though, but then you get the other thing is that there's no real guarantee we'd even get Valkyries proper because there's still the whole licensing issue with Big West, and they're still not super keen on Harmony Gold in the first place. Which is why whenever they do any new Robotech stuff, with an exception for that miniatures game that Palladium just put out, they mainly do the Mos Pita mecha because it's not as copyright dicey. Look, doing the Macross stuff.
I make fun of Macross a lot because I think the entire premise is stupid, but the robots are cool.
Shoji Kawamori is one of the greatest mech designers still alive.
Yeah.
He is a genius. Everything that he has ever designed is amazing, streamlined, and perfect. I don't know. I'm a little wary.
I don't blame you. So that's all for now, Nerds and Ties. Until next time, stay random. Thanks, Randy.
Alrighty.
I'm sorry that I mucked up your letter so badly.
Which is funny because actually in the rundown, Nick was supposed to read Archimize's letter first.
Oh, really?
Okay, I got it right here.
I could have practiced is what you're telling me.
Yes. But okay. You so screwed up reading the letter, you jumped the gun on when to read the letter.
I guess, whatever. Take it away, Nick.
All right, from Archimize. Subject, let's do the time warp again. Hey, nerdy guys with ties. Among the many genre shows to come out in the last few years, it seems like there are a lot of shows set in different periods these days. Since I know Nick has a historic background, I was curious which one you find to be the most historically accurate. Of the following, what is most true to the source? Turn, America's First Spy Ring, which I haven't seen.
It's Sleepy actually pretty good.
It was good.
It looked pretty cool.
They got another season coming.
I thought it got canceled. Thank God. I actually enjoyed Turn.
Oh, no. There's another season coming.
Good.
Sleepy Hollow, which, as we all know, is incredibly historically accurate. Gotham, which, no. No. You know what? Normally I come up with something witty to say, but will take any opportunity to take a crap on Gotham. No. Peggy Carter.
Hey, Gotham's very historically accurate for that period in Gotham's history.
No, it's not.
It doesn't have a history, Nick. It's its own continuity. Technically, that's present day in that show.
Okay. we'll go with that. But if it turns out that I'm right and it's a prequel to Adam West.
No, no. Gotham is really the lead up to the reboot that DC's going to do in 10 years.
Okay. I'm sad about that already. All right. Peggy Carter, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think you mean Agent Carter. Because S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't a thing yet there.
Yeah, it's just Agent Carter.
From my understanding, it's pretty accurate, like historically speaking.
I don't know. Period. No. I'm going to call out Agent Carter along with Captain America, the first Avenger, on an egregious historical inaccuracy in both of those, is that it is the 1940s, and I have seen one person smoking. One! Everyone was smoking back then. Throwing it
that,
out.
That the SSR should literally be full of tobacco smoke.
Yes.
That's true, yeah.
Every building should be full, except for Peggy's,
See, if I were them, I would, thing. If I were producing that show, I wouldn't necessarily show people smoking, but I would literally just fill the set with smoke and leave it implied.
Fog machine, just every, yeah. Or Star Wars Rebels.
Well, considering I'm the only time traveler among the three of us, I can say that is what the future looks like.
Oh, that's not remotely true.
Yeah, but hey,
Carlin gave me my phone booth that's out in the parking lot right now.
And furthermore, Star Wars Rebels is in a galaxy far, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
That's so right. You got me. That's right. I was thinking of Star. Oh my God, I was thinking of something else entirely.
So obviously,
my nerd cred just took a hit. That's right. Star Wars is the future. Star Wars is the past. Damn it.
So obviously, it is Sleepy Hollow is the most historically accurate. What with that, they acknowledge that there was a revolution and stuff.
Is based off a book.
It's based off of it's off a pretty historically accurate book too. Like Turn is very, very good. I recommend.
Yeah, Turn's good.
All right, yeah, I really should watch Turn. I'm willing to bet that it is the actually most historically accurate thing on this list. And I will probably watch it at some point, maybe.
I can't believe I mucked up my Star Wars thing. Wow.
You are out of it. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I don't know.
Having a stroke, Fur?
I'm okay.
Fur, are you having a stroke?
I started up. I can't get over the whole, like, I'm still thinking back on the Ghostbusters reboot thing. Like that. With the fox and let's go on to the Vomit Hat Steve letter.
The Vomit Hat Steve challenge. The Vomit Hat Steve challenge. I'm sorry, I had to finish typing something to the chat room. The Vomit Hat Steve challenge. That's right. If you watch the show live, you could have known what I just typed, but now you'll never know.
It is a mystery.
For it is lost in the bowels of IRC.
Oh, don't ever say bowels again. Yeah.
So anyways, the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge. Every episode, we have the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge. The Vomit Hat Steve Challenge is where I take a book and I read a random line or lines from it. And the challenge to you is that you guess what book it's from. It's very exciting. Now, if you get it right, you get your name included in the Hall of Awesome. Being in the Hall of Awesome means we will read your name every episode. And that's it. That's it. That's all you get. We are poor, and so there are no prizes other than me picking up my iPad here and saying the current members of the Hall of Awesome are Archimize, Zero, Rena Innocenti, Cheesy McDamu, Krista, Slithery D, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings Man, Corfan, Capito, and Chris Graham. Those are the members of the Hall of Awesome. Now, last week, I read a line from a book, and nobody guessed it right. Worm thought it was Dragon Riders of Pern, which is not correct. No. I mean, I've read the Dragon Riders of Pern, but that's not the book. So,
is it good?
I think the first book's a little weak. It doesn't really get good until you get into like the White Dragon, but overall, the series is really excellent. There are two different ways to read the book. There are two different trilogies, and you should start out with one of them, read it, and then read the other trilogy, but it doesn't really matter which one of the two you pick first. like there's literally like a how to read Dragon Riders of Pern chart. Anyways, that has nothing to do with the book for this episode because nobody guessed the last book. I'm going to give you guys another shot at it by reading another line from the book.
Don't screw this up.
Don't screw this
guys,
up, guys.
Come on, don't let us down.
Then we continue to the palace. If you know what book that's from, along with last episode's quote,
okay.
They can go back to last episode and get another quote from the book. If you know what book that was, go to nerdandtie.com and click on the contact form and submit it to us. Or if you have anything else you'd like to ask us, say to us, speak your mind, yell about how Fur is having a stroke.
For screwing up and saying Star Wars takes place in the future, my God.
If you want like any opinion, we would love to hear it. Please go to that same contact form, fill it out, and say whatever you want us to say during the mailbag portion. And as long as you're not a douchebag, we'll probably read it.
And actually, if you're a douchebag, we will likely read your letter online and name you so that people will know how much of a douchebag you are.
Oh, I know. We are great.
Yeah. Bazanga.
I would like to apologize for my inefficiency doing the video production this episode. Some of you may have noticed like a random box appear down there for a person who doesn't exist because I clicked on the wrong template. But anyways, we want to hear from you, our wonderful people, our wonderful fans.
We love reading letters. It's good stuff.
That I think, though, brings us to the end of our broadcast.
It does,
for the evening.
Boys and girls and those choosing not to identify.
So, I am and have always been Trey Dorn.
I was and most likely will not be in the future, Professor Fur.
And I will be Nick Izumi, but I'm currently Orion Pax.
Sure doesn't get that joke. And remember to please subscribe to us on iTunes, subscribe to us on Stitcher, and you can listen to us on Stitcher using the Stitcher app. It's very neat on both iOS and Android. Please rate and review us in any of these stores, and thanks for joining us. Man.
Have a wonderful night, everybody.
Keep on spocking in the free world.
Indeed.